타랑고 지쳐 발라천저 주 다여버리 나의 모습아야 수탑저 잠이 가라천저니라 Padma Pravalambura Kandiva Strai Sanni Chirangeshta Varapadaya Kaivalya Nataya Vrishadvajaya Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this is a very elevated subject matter. I don't have any adhikar, any qualification to speak this thing. I'm not a speaker. I beg apology from all of you. But our Guru Maharaj, he spoke some of these things and told us that we should speak if someone asks us. So we're just trying to repeat some things that he had to say. But our speaking is not in the order of his. So to recap some of the things from yesterday, we spoke about some of the apparent considerations of Jagannath Puri. We can mention that there are two types of considerations. There's tattva-vichar and apara-vichar. Tattva-vichar means the absolute consideration. And apara-vichar means the apparent consideration. So by some apparent consideration, Jagannath Puri Dham seems to be like Mathura or Dwarka. And we provided many good evidences for that thing. Beginning with Vrindavana parityaga padikam nagacchati. Krishna never leaves Vrindavana. And Mahaprabhu is Krishna, Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Surupam, in the mood of Radhika. And Navadvip Dham is non-different from Vrindavan. So just as Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but he seems to be taken away by Akrura, Mahaprabhu, some people say, never leaves Navadvip. But it seems that he's taken away by Keshava Bharati. And that same Keshava Bharati, he's Akrura in Krishna Leela. And when Krishna goes to Mathura, he stays in the house of Kubja. When Mahaprabhu leaves Navadvip and he goes to Jagannath Puri, he stays in the house of Kashimisha. And Kashimisha in Krishna Leela is Kubja. So for many different reasons, it seems that this place is Dwarka. But then yesterday we were explaining how this explanation is not completely satisfying. Prabhupada notes in his purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila chapter 16, 281. He says, the eternal Brajbasis like Suptamana did not even come to Vrindavan Dham. Shri Pundrik Vidyaniti, Shri Haridas Thakur, Shivas Pandit, Shivananda Sen, Shri Ramananda Roy, Shri Sikhi Mahiti, Shri Madhavi Devi, and Shri Gadadhar Pandit Goswami never visited Vrindavan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that we have no authorized document stating that these exalted personalities visited Vrindavan. They never came to Vrindavan. And as yesterday we described, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they're not interested in going to Dwarka. As we told the story of Krishnadas Babaji, who had gone to Dwarka, he was a very exalted Vaishnava on the platform of Lila Spurti, seeing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But when he returned to Vrindavan, Radhika told him, hey, Chalo, what are you doing here? Now you're a Dwarka Basi, you want to become a Mahishi, you go back to Dwarka. So it's a good story to illustrate the point how Gaudiya Vaishnavas are not interested in going to Dwarka. So what is this Jagannath Puri? We can mention Gadadhar Pandit. We said something yesterday how Gadadhar Pandit, he was staying in Jagannath Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he describes... Thank you. pandita jabe sange te chalila gadadara pandita jabe sange te chalila kita sanyasanacharya prabhu nisedi Sanyasacharya Prabhu Nisedila. When Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri to come to Vrindavan, he went to Katak, which is also within Sri Ketra, and he started to cross the Mahanadi River to go to Vrindavan. And at that time, Gadadhar Pandit was feeling so much separation from Mahaprabhu that he also wanted to go with Mahaprabhu. But Prabhu Nisedila, Kaviraj Goswami writes, that Mahaprabhu said, hey, you can't come. You're forbidden. Ketra sannyasa nacharya. You can't give up this Ketra sannyas, this vow that you've taken to stay in Jagannath Puri Dham. Mahaprabhu would not allow him. So how is that? Why is that? We described yesterday, Ahuta Ketra Mahatmyam Garda Bo Chita Chatur Bhuja Yatra Pravesha Matrena Na Kashyapi Punarbhava. This is a pramana offered by Srila Sanatana Goswami in his purports in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says all the glory of that place known as Jagannath Puri Dham, that even a Gardaba, even a donkey there, he becomes a four-armed resident of Vaikuntha. Anyone who goes there once is never born again. And he cites Brahma Purana. Aho ketrasya mahatmyam samsta dasa yojanam nivista yata pasyanti sarvaneva chatur bhujan. The glory of that place, which is 80 miles in circumference. When someone goes there, he sees that everyone there is a four-armed resident of Vaikuntha. So devotees of Mahaprabhu, followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're not interested in Vaikuntha. We're not interested in four-armed forms. Sri Krishna Surupayo, Rasa Krishna Sarasvatihi. Siddhanta Tvaste Vedepi, Krishna Surupa. Although, in terms of Siddhanta Tvaste Vedepi, Sri So, Krishna Surupayo. Sri Isha, the Lord of Lakshmi Devi, Lord Narayan. And Krishna, although they're non different in terms of tattva, in terms of rasa, there's a difference. And the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they want to follow Krishna. So, we explained yesterday something of how Mahaprabhu goes to that place because he has three desires, Sri Radhaya Pranayam Mahima Kidrisovana Yaiva. And those three desires are satisfied in that place. So what is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is tasting in Jagannath Puri Dham? It's described by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Very wonderful description. Sesha je rahila prabhu dvadasa vatsara Krishna ravi yogas puti aya nirantara. In that place, in the last 12 years of his manifest pastimes, this is takes place after Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, and he left Vrindavan, as we described yesterday, because he couldn't taste Radha Bhav here in Vrindavan. Because this Krishna Varna came again at Inlital, and he realized, I have to leave this place. So he returned to Jagannath Puri. And there in the last 12 years, Mahaprabhu, he always manifested on his body all the Astasatvikara Bhava, all the different symptoms of ecstasy and separation from Krishna. Krishnera Vyoga Spurti Hoya Nirantara. Always this thing was going on. Chirarikara Chesta Jena Urava Darshane Ehi Mata Dasa Prabhu Oya Ratri Dini. Oya Ratri Dini. Day and night, Mahaprabhu, his state of mind is Sri Radhika Chesta Jena Udava Darshane. There's a place near Nandagam, which is known as Udava Keri. And then Udava Keri, one of the most amazing portions of the Bhagavatam, was spoken. It's known as Brahmaragit. And this Brahmaragit is the Urdguna, the mad talks of Srimati Radhika in separation from Krishna. It takes place when Uddhava came to Vrindavan carrying a message of love from Krishna. And it's described by Kaviraj Goswami that Sri Radhikara Cheshta Yena Uddhava Darshani. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is what he was tasting in the Gambira in Jagannath Puri. Day and night, he was tasting this experience, this mood of Radhika in separation from Krishna when she's speaking this Brahmara Gita.
Nirantara Hoya Prabhu Viraha Umada Brahma Maya Chesha Sada Pralapa Maya Vada.
During that time, Mahaprabhu manifested a mood of ecstatic madness and separation. And all of his activities, they were based on forgetfulness, huh? Brahma Maya. Chesa Sada Pralap Ma Mayavad. And his talks, they were also based on madness. No one can understand the mad talks of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there in the Gambira. And Kaviraj Goswami describes that many amazing things happened in his body.
Roma Kupe Lapta Gama Danta Sabahale Shane Anga Kshina Hoya Shane Anga Fule.
He says that Roma Kupe Rakta Gama, that sometimes blood will begin to pour from all the pores of his skin. And then other times his teeth would become loosened. At one point his body would become very slender. And then at another point his whole body would become fat.
Gambira vichare ratri nahi nidra labha vite mukha shira bhase chata hoya sabha.
Ratri nahi nidra labha. Mahaprabhu, he was staying in this inner room, Gambira Bhitare, known as the Gambira. How many devotees have been to the Gambira in Jagannath Puri? You know, an interesting point, they say, we heard from one senior Mahant in Nabadweep, that that room that they tell is the Gambira is not actually the Gambira. But they say that there's a basement room, a room down below, and they strictly don't allow anyone to go to that place. But if you're some very senior Vaishnava, Deshi Vaishnava, not a Videshi, then they may allow you down inside of there. So Mahaprabhu was staying in his Gambira in Ratri Nahi Nidra Labha. He wasn't sleeping even for a moment. And what was he doing? Bita Mukha Shira Ghase Shato Hoya Sabha. At night, he would go and he would start rubbing his head against the wall. And grinding his mouth. And this way blood and all so many injuries would come on his face. Kaviraj Goswami describes.
Tina dvare kapata Prabhu yayena bahire Kabu singha dvare pade Kabu sindu nire.
Although the three doors of this Gambira, they were always closed, still somehow or another, even though Govinda, Mahaprabhu's dear servant, was sleeping right outside the door, sometimes he would hear Mahaprabhu crying and chanting inside the room, and then sometimes in the middle of the night, the sound would stop, and Govinda would get up and look and see, and he would find Mahaprabhu was gone. Even though all there was no way for him to go outside, everything was bolted from the outside. And sometimes the devotees, they would find him by the Singhadwara gate. And sometimes the Lord would fall flat in the ocean. There's a purport to this verse, which will, I hope I don't forget, you'll like very much to help us understand the conclusion of these past things. We'll say something maybe tomorrow.
Chataka Parvata Deki Govardhana Brahme Dana Chale Artanada Kandane.
Chataka Parvata Deki Govardhana Brahme. That sometimes Mahaprabhu, he would see Govardhan, and he would begin crying in ecstatic love. Handaya Madhura Bala Haridasavayo Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasa Pramoda Manam Dano Disaha Gogena Yastayurya Paniya Suya Vasakandara Kandamulai. This is a verse in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. It's not mentioned in the 10th canto who's spoken this thing. But Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, our Prayojana Charja, in his Govardhanashtakam prayers, he's described that this verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would see Chetak Parvik near to the ocean, just near now what is by Tota Gopinath temple, he would become mad and ecstatic love. And he would begin reciting this verse, which is some prayers to Giriraj Govardhan. Antaya Madhurabala Haridasavaryo. Oh Giriraj, you're Haridas. You're the greatest devotee. Haridasavaryo, the greatest devotee of Krishna. In the mood of Radhika, Mahaprabhu would see like that. He would see these sand hills to be non-different from Govardhan Hill. And he would run toward them like a madman. And Govinda and Haridas and all the different devotees who were with Mahaprabhu, they would run after him, but they couldn't catch him. Prabhupada writes in his purport, he says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and his pastimes. His state of mind brought him the atmosphere of Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill, and thus he enjoyed the transcendental bliss of separation and meeting. So this is a very significant purport.
Upavano dhyana deki Vrindavana gane Tahanyai nachigaya Shani muchadyaya.
Kaviraj Goswami describes that sometimes Mahaprabhu, he would see some forests there in Jagannath Puri, and he would see them as Vrindavan, and he would go mad, and he would run to that place and start dancing and chanting in ecstasy. Now, this is a significant thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's in the mood of Radharani, and Radharani is always wanting to see Vrindavan. Our acharyas have described that Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra are the forms of Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra. That the Lord, in a mood that the Lord manifested when he went to Kurukshetra. And this Rathiatra festival, this is a pretty common thing, I think you should know this. This Rathiatra festival is the mood of the gopis and Radharani meeting them in Vrindavan, meeting them in Kurukshetra, and wanting to bring them back, wanting to pull them to Vrindavan. But it's not mentioned that Mahaprabhu in that mood, he was seeing Kurukshetra, considering Kurukshetra to be like Vrindavan. It's not mentioned that when Mahaprabhu went to South India, he was seeing South India like Vrindavan. There are a few places, Kanai Natashala, that Mahaprabhu saw as Vrindavan. But acharyas have described that Kanai Natashala is never Vrindavan. It's none different from Vrindavan. It's a hidden Vrindavan. It's Gupta Vrindavan. Also, when Mahaprabhu entered into the boundaries of Shiketra, when he came to the temple known as Kirchor Gopinath, he became mad in ecstatic love. And that place also is described as being Gupta Vrindavan. So when he was in Puri, Mahaprabhu was seeing all the forests and things are just like Vrindavan. So this is significant.
Kahanahi suni jayi bhaveravi kara se bhava hoya prabhu sharire prachara.
Kaviraj Goswami says that kahanahi suni jayi bhaveravi. You'll never hear about ecstasies like what Mahaprabhu experienced in Puri. Not in Vrindavan, not in Navadvipa. The ecstasies that Mahaprabhu was experiencing in Jagannath Puri Dham were something very, very unique. And beyond even those ecstasies he was experiencing in Vrindavan or in Navadvipa. He says that, say, bhava hoy prabhu shirari prachar. These things, these ecstasies, kaha nahi suni se jai bhava vikar. These things have never been heard of before. Prabhupada writes in his purport, he says, these symptoms are indicative of mahabhav, or the highest ecstasy. Srimati Radhika, one of her names is Mahabhav Sarupini. She is the embodiment of Mahabhav. If Mahabhav, if the last limit of ecstatic love for Krishna is to assume a form, that form is Srimati Radharani. She's the embodiment of that bhav. And so Mahaprabhu, Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima, he wanted to know, what is the glory of Radhika's Pranaya Mahima? Svadyo yena bhuta madhuri makiddhi sovanayai. What is she tasting in that thing? And what is she seeing in me? So for that reason, he came, Krishna Omi Krishna Sarupam, although he's Krishna, he came, Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam. He came in the mood of Radharani. And although he wanted to come and try to taste that thing in Vrindavan, he couldn't taste it in Vrindavan. He had to return to Jagannath Puri. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has given a description about Mahaprabhu's journey to Jagannath Puri in his Chaitanya Bhagavat. And there he said that Mahaprabhu, when he went to... he gives a very elaborate description of Mahaprabhu's visit to Bhubaneswar. And he says there that when Mahaprabhu went to Bhubaneswar, he says that in Bhubaneswar is Kotilinga. There's 10 million temples of the Lord Shiva. And that Mahaprabhu visited all of them. That's a lot of temples. Still today, if you go to Jagannath Puri, you can see, even today, that they, many times in the newspapers you may read that someone's digging some foundation of a building or something, and then they find some Shivlinga there in the ground. If you go to Gauri Shankar Temple, you'll see just behind the Gauri Shankar Temple, some devotees here, we've taken them, Bhubaneswar Parikrama, you may remember this. Just behind the Gauri Shankar Temple, you can see the top of the Sanskrit school, Sanskrit college. And that particular room they don't use. Underneath that room, you can see, excavated under the ground, there's an ancient temple of Lord Shiva. They discovered that after they built that part of the building. And they built that and they said, oh, we can't use this. We can't put our feet over the head of Lord Shiva. So that place, there's so many Shivlingas there. That's a very interesting thing. At Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he stopped in Bhubaneswar on the way to Jagannath Puri. Now we've been describing that Mahaprabhu's purpose in going to Jagannath Puri was so that he could taste Radha Bhava. Indeed, that was the whole purpose of his sannyas lila. That was the purpose of his leaving Sachimata. That was the purpose of his leaving Vishnupriya. Even though the pastimes that Mahaprabhu was performing in Navadvipa and in Jagannath Puri are very similar. In Navadvipa, Mahaprabhu was performing Naga Sankirtan. He's performing Sankirtan everywhere. He's also performing confidential Sankirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur, which is described to be non-different from the Rasastali. He was doing it in the evening. And he was tasting the mood of the gopis and crying in ecstasy. But Mahaprabhu couldn't stay in Navadvipa. He had to leave Navadvipa because he had to repay his debt to the gopis. Napareham niravadyasam yujam. Krishna tells the gopis in 10th canto, I can't repay my debt to you. So to repay that debt that Krishna had to the gopis, he had to come as Mahaprabhu. And just as the gopis left home in the middle of the night and they ran to Krishna, Mahaprabhu also had to leave home. And he had to taste this madness and ecstasy of separation. So to taste that ecstatic love is the purpose of his sannyas lila. And to taste that ecstatic love, he came to Jagannath Puri. And the pastimes he performed in Puri are very similar to the pastimes that he performed in Navadvipa. He's also performing Sankirtan. He's also crying in ecstatic love and separation from Radhika. But, as we described, in Jagannath Puri, he exhibits many ecstatic symptoms that are not found in Navadvipa, such as melting the stone in the Jagannath Mandir, melting the Garuda Stamba, melting the stone in Alarnath. Blood coming from his skin, water shooting out from his eyes, and assuming this karma roop form in front of the, this form like a turtle, in front of the Singhadwara gate of the Jagannath Mandir, and many other ecstasies. And therefore, Kaviraj Goswami is describing that nowhere else have you ever heard about these kind of ecstatic symptoms. So Mahaprabhu was going to Jagannath Puri for this purpose. His purpose in going to Jagannath Puri was to fulfill these three inner desires that he had as Krishna that weren't fulfilled in Krishna Lila. And as we read yesterday, Kaviraj Goswami says, those three desires were fulfilled in the Gambhira. So his expedition, his travel to Jagannath Puri has some purport. His visit to Kirchar Gopinath, which we won't describe in this lecture, but has some purport. His visit to Bhubaneswar has some purport. What was the necessity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in visiting Bhubaneswar? What did he do there? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Bhubaneswar, it's described, that passage is elaborately described by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur and Chaitanya Bhagavat, and also by Kavi Karnapur in Chaitanya Charit Mahakavya. It's said there that Mahaprabhu went to every temple of Lord Shiva there, and he danced in ecstatic love. You go to the Lingaraj temple there. And a very nice thing. Those Videshi Bhaktas here, those Westerners, you can't go inside. But you can go on the platform outside, and you can look inside, and you can see the wonderful courtyard in the Lingaraj temple, and see the stones that of that courtyard where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced with Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya and the other devotees on his way to Jagannath Puri. That place is still manifest today. So what is the significance of this Bhubaneswar? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was there, he also took the prasad of Lord Shiva. And that's a very unusual thing. Because you know, Bhrigu Muni, he cursed Lord Shiva that no one will worship you, no one will take your prasadam. And to this day, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they won't take the prasad of Lord Shiva. Even they may say, we always say that Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, we say, oh, he's a very Bodo Vaishnav, he's the boss. He's the head of all the Vaishnavas. But still, the Vaishnavas, we don't take his prasad. But Mahaprabhu, who's in Bhakta Bhav, and is doing Loka Siksha, he's teaching the common people, when he went to Bhubaneswar, he took Bhubaneswar Prasad. Why is that? A very interesting thing. We can say a few things about Bhubaneswar Dham. Bhubaneswar Dham is known as Vaishnava Ketra. There in that place, Lord Shiva is worshipped. It's a city of Lord Shiva. Just as Mathura is considered to be the gateway to Braj Mandala, so similarly Bhubaneswar is considered to be the gateway to Purushottam Ketra. And just as in Braj Mandala, Vrindavan is considered to be the most significant place, or most important place in many ways. Although in other ways, Radhakon and Shamakon and Govardhan are more important, but they're most famous. Similarly, within Sri Ketra, this Jagannath Puri is considered to be the most important. And just as the yatris, the persons who are doing parikrama of Braj Mandala, they begin in Mathura and they go to Bhuteshwar Mahadev. And they pray for his blessings because at Bhuteshwar, he's the Ketrapala. He's the guardian of the Dham. And if you don't get his blessings, you can't enter inside. He's the doorman there. So many Vaishnavas also, they see that Shivji, he's a Ketrapala of Sri Ketra. And he's there in Bhubaneswar. So to get his blessings, we have to first go to Bhubaneswar. But to get to enter into Jagannath Puri, we have to first go to Bhubaneswar to get his blessings. So this place is known as Vaishnava Ketra. It's known as Ekamrakana, which means the place of one mango tree. And there's a very nice story our Guru Maharaj used to tell in this regard, that Srimati Radhika, she had one parrot. And this parrot was very fond of Krishna Katha. Radhika, she used to hold that parrot on her left hand. And in her right hand, she would take some pomegranate seeds. And these shuk, these parrots, they like very much these pomegranate seeds. So she would give some pomegranate seeds to that parrot. And she'd say, Bolo Krishna Nam, Bolo Krishna Nam, chant Krishna Nam. And Radhika, she would relish hearing that parrot chant Krishna, Krishna. So that parrot was very ecstatic. He was a very premi parrot, premi puppy. He was always relishing very much hearing the Harikatha emanating from the lotus mouth of Srimati Radhika. But then when Radha and Krishna finished their manifest pastimes, they told that parrot, that shuk, that now you stay back. You stay here and you'll speak some Harikatha. So that parrot was very sad. He's missing the association of his mistress, Srimati Radharani, and his master, Sri Krishna. But someone told him that there in Ekamrakana, Bhubaneswar, there's some Harikatha going on. Very high class Harikatha. Shivji is speaking to Parvati, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's ascribed that this is the first place that was spoken, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in. So that parrot went there. And he found there in that place one big mango tree. And seated underneath that tree was Lord Shiva, speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parvati Devi. And that parrot became very ecstatic. And he sat down in that tree there in the leaves, and he was hearing. And Shivji was speaking to Parvati. And Parvati, she was a good listener. She was saying, like this. But Shivji, he's speaking first canto, second canto, third canto. Parvati, she's very rustic. She wants to hear the Dasani Skanda, the 10th canto. So, like many times devotees in our ISKCON society also, she fell asleep. Actually, it said that just as we have mantras to put the deity to sleep and mantras to awaken the deity, we also have similar mantras in our ISKCON society to put the devotees to sleep and other mantras to wake them up. We say Utista Tista, Sri Guru, we wake up the deity with his words Utista Tista, and we put them to rest with other mantras. And similarly, we have a mantra for putting the devotees to sleep, and that mantra is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You try that. You do that immediately. Everybody goes to sleep. It works very good. And then we have another mantra that they may be sound asleep, very, very deep sleep, like Pardosh. He's sleeping and some water is coming from his mouth like this, and he's making some sound, some kirtan while he's sleeping. But you chant this mantra and immediately he jumps up. And what is that? Sarira vijaja jarindriya tayaka. And immediately he wakes up. So Parvati Devi, she'd fallen asleep. And Shivji was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't notice that Parvati was asleep. And after a little while he noticed, hey Parvati, she's asleep. But this sound, was still coming. And Shivji's looking around, who's making that sound? And then he saw up in the tree, there was one pakki, one shuk, one parrot. And he was listening. The guy is very happy. And he was making this sound. Because he thought, if the sound stops in Shivji, he's going to know that Parvati's asleep and he'll stop speaking. So he wanted to hear this katha, very, very nice katha. So Shivji, he's Asutosh. He's very nice. He's very easy to worship. You offer a little bilva patras and bale leaf and some ganga jaw, and he becomes very, very happy. He doesn't take very much. But he's also known as Rudra. He also becomes very angry, very easy. So this time he became very angry. Not because he's angry that someone's hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, but because this Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Paramahamsa Sanhita. This is a very intimate literature. This is not meant just for everyone. You have to have some adhikar to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was thinking, who is this stupid bird? What is this nonsense? So he picked up his trishula, his trident. And he started chasing after that bird. And that bird started flying away very quickly. But don't think he was afraid. Shoka Moha Bayapaha, the first canto of the Bhagavatam, describes that one of the symptoms of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is there's no shok, no moha, no bhaya. There's no fear, lamentation, or illusion. Well, he wasn't afraid. He was just disappointed because the Harikatha had stopped. And previously he'd heard that in Bhadrak Ashram, there's also some Harikatha going on. So he flew there very fast with Shivji chasing behind him with his trishula. And he went to the Bhadrak Ashram, and there he saw that Srila Vyasadeva was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife. And she was very amazed listening. And she was sitting there with an open mouth. So that parrot, flying very quickly with Shivji behind him, flew and entered into the mouth of Srila Vyasadeva's wife to hide, and then entered into her womb. And later, he became known as Sri Shuk, the son of Srila Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami. Jiva Goswami describes this in Gopal Champo. And therefore, the Bhagavatam begins with Sri Shukuvacha, Shukadeva Goswami speaks. But there's another meaning. Uvacha means to speak, but Sri means Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Radhika. That's another meaning of Sri. And Shuk means parrot. So Sri Shuk means the blessed parrot of Srimati Radhika. Sri Shuk Uvacha. And therefore it's said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is a very mysterious verse, which many devotees have a hard time understanding. Shivji, he says, Aham Vedmi Shuka Vedi Vyasa Vedi Navediva. He says, I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami, he understands Srimad Bhagavatam. But Vyasa Vedi Navediva, whether Vyasa understands or not, I can't really say. What does that mean? Many devotees, they read that, they say, there's no explanation given. What does that mean? How can Vyasadeva is described that every incarnation of the Lord has a mother and father. Even Lord Nisringadeva has a mother and father. Who's the mother and father of Lord Nisringadeva? It's a stumba, a pillar. He also had a mother and father. And so similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is none different from Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam also has a mother and father, and that mother and father is Srila Vyasadeva. So how is he saying Vyasa Vedi Navediva? Whether Vyasa understands or not, I can't say. But Aham Vedi Shuka Vedi. Because of this story. I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. He spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami knows Srimad Bhagavatam. He heard it from me. Shivji is saying. But Vyasa Vedi Navediva? Bhakti Bhagavatam Graya Na Buddhaya Na Chatikaya. Don't think understanding Srimad Bhagavatam is a cheap thing. Na Buddhaya Na Chatikaya. That, oh, with my intelligence, I'm a very, very intelligent person. Once I met one professor who was coming from Puri. We were going to some big Pandal program. They had like 30,000 people in rural Orissa. And this professor was coming to give some talk, and they asked me to be a speaker also at this program. And we went on the car on the way there. He was telling me so many things. This person had memorized the entire Gita and hundreds of verses from the Bhagavatam. He knew so many things from Rupa Goswami. Very amazing person. Loved Sanskrit. Very, very erudite, intelligent person. But he also liked very much to eat fish and eggs. And he was telling me that actually Lord Jagannath, he's Buddha. He was telling me these things. So what was his conception? So although he's a very intelligent person, he can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam. You may memorize every single verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, but not Buddhaya. And not Chatikaya. You may think, oh, I'll take help from the commentaries. So many commentaries are there. On the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sanatana Goswami has written a commentary, Jiva Goswami has written a commentary, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada has written a commentary. We may think I'll understand Srimad Bhagavatam by reading the commentaries. But Shivji says it's not possible. Only Bhakti Bhagavatam Grahyam. Only through Bhakti can one understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So this place is Bhubaneswar. This is a place where Shivji was speaking Bhagavatam. It's said that around Bindusagar, one sacred lake in Bhubaneswar. There's a very nice story about this. There's a very nice Purkrama in Bhubaneswar. And if any of you come sometime, we'll be very happy to take you around. There are many, many stories we're not going to take time to tell today. We're just trying to tell something in relevance to today's story, this point about Puri. But there's different primary temples of Lord Shiva around that lake. And it said there's 8 primary ones. And that Shivji, on one occasion, he became ecstatic, meditating on Krishna's Rasa Leela. And then he expanded himself into 8 forms. And Parvati, she expanded herself into 8 forms, and they began to perform the Rasa Leela. Just as the gopis, when Krishna left the Rasa Leela, they became ecstatic. And one gopi, she acted like Krishna playing a flute. And another gopi acted like Putana. And another one went and put her mouth to her breast and is acting like Krishna. And they began to act out the pastimes of Krishna in the mood of ecstasy and separation. So Shivji was doing like that in Jagannath Puri, in Bhubaneswar. So Mahaprabhu, when he went to that Bhubaneswar, he visited all those temples. In Bhubaneswar, there's one primary deity of Lord Shiva. His name is Bhubaneswar. Today's his most common name is Lingaraj. There are Dvadas Lingas in India. Those of you who are born in India, you know, probably a very common thing. There are 12 main deities of Lord Shiva, which are mentioned in the Linga Purana and in the Nandi Purana. Those lingas are Somanath, who's near Veeraval, Gujarat, Malika Arjun in Sri Shailam, Andhra Pradesh, Mahankaleshwar on the Kipra River in Ujjain, Madhya Pradesh, Omkareshwar in Madhaleshwar on the Narmada River in Madhya Pradesh, Kedarnath in Garhwal and Himalayas in UP, Bhim Shankar, who's north of Pune in Maharashtra, Vishwanath in Varanasi in UP, Triambakeshwar on the Godavari River in Nasik, Maharashtra, Vaidyanath, near the Deogar Bihar, Nageshwar near Dwarka in Gujarat, Rameshwar near Rameshwaram in Rameshwaram in Tamil Nadu, and Gushmeshwar near Anjata Alor Caves in Maharashtra. So this Lingaraj is not mentioned there. Why is he not mentioned? It's said because he's not one of the Duras Lingas. He's the king of all those Lingas. And that if someone goes and has his darshan, it's considered that you have the benefit of having darshan of all these Vidas Lingas. And so for this reason, many Hindus, they go to Bhubaneswar. Just as yesterday we were describing the Jai Rupa Chinti Dasi Se Rupa Hoy, the Lord manifests himself according to the mood of the devotee. And we were commenting how this is very much Lord Jagannath's mood and the mood of Lord Puri, that the Lord manifests according to the mood of the devotee. So similarly, the Hindus, when they come to Bhubaneswar, they see this is a great Hindu Tirtha, and they see Lingaraj is the king, the Lingaraja, the king of all the Lingas, and they worship him like that. Many Gaudiya Vaishnavas, when they go there, they also worship Lingaraj, and they remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Bhubaneswar, and how he visited all the temples, and how he took the prasad of Lord Shiva, and they become very, very happy. They remember how it is that at that time they were offering the Mahaprasad of Anantavasudeva to Shivji. Because this Bhubaneswar Dham, we didn't mention, is another story which we won't go into so much now, but this Bhubaneswar was given to Lord Shiva by Krishna as his place, because after Krishna destroyed Kashi, after the Sudarshan Chakra destroyed Kashi, Shivji had no place to go. So he petitioned Krishna, "You please give me some place to live." Krishna said, "Why just any place? You're a Bodo Bhakta, you're a very big Bhakta, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. I'll give you my place, Purushottam Ketra, and you can be the doorman there." So Shivji went there and did like that. But Shivji told him, he said, "But you know, I don't want to go anywhere where you're not there." Because Shivji, he's a great devotee of Krishna. So Krishna said, "Yes, yes, diddy. He said, "You don't worry. I'll be there myself on the eastern bank of Bindusagar in the form of Ananta Vasudeva." And that temple, according to historians, is the oldest temple in Bhubaneswar. And the system up until some time ago, maybe 50 years ago or so, was that they would offer prasad, bhog, to that deity of Ananta Vasudeva. Then they would take the prasad and they would give that prasad to Lingaraj. And so for that reason, Gaudiya Vaishnavas are very happy to take that prasad, because it's Krishna prasad, and then it becomes Mahaprasad after being offered to Shivji. But they stopped that process some years back. But still today, many Gaudiya Vaishnavas still take the prasad of Lingaraj. Well, why is that? We described that Vaishnavas, they don't want to take this prasad for many different reasons. One of which is that Shivlinga is not actually Lord Shiva. This is a little bit of a secret thing. But he's Harihara. You may go to Navadvip Dham and you may see the deity of Harihara, as spoken about in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya by Thakur Bhaktivinoda, who's half Shiva and half Vishnu. So similarly, the pandas, they say that this linga, he's Harihara. And they have some pramanas for it. On the top of a Vishnu temple or a Krishna temple, you'll see a Sudarshan Chakra. On the top of the Shiva temples, you'll see a Trishula. On the temple of Lingaraj, there's both. There's a Trishula and a Chakra. In the temples of Lord Shiva, you'll find a Mrigastamba, a Nandi bull in front. In the temples of Krishna, you find a Garuda Stamba. In front of Lingaraj, there's a Mrigastamba, and right next to him on the same stamba is Garuda. Both are there. There's another pramana for this, that when Indrajumna Maharaj wanted to go to have darshan of Nilamadav, Narad Muni had told him about it. So he was taking him there. He said, "Hey, before we go to have darshan of Nilamadav, first you have to have darshan, you have to worship Lingaraj. Otherwise you can't have darshan." And it's described in Skanda Purana. Lingam ti bhuvanesham tam mahasnanena pujayan atulam patimale va vishnu advaita darshana. That after taking his holy bath, perhaps in Bindusagar, which is right next to the temple of Lingaraj, Indraduna Maharaj went to worship that linga. And he's thinking, because Indraduna Maharaj, he's a devotee of Krishna. He's not very happy to worship Shiva. But he started offering worship to that Shivlinga. Atulam Pratimalebi, he became very ecstatic because Vishnu Advaita Darshana. He saw this deity, he's not different from my Vishnu. This is Harihara. This is a very Pakka Pramana from Skanda Purana. Aside from that, if you speak of the pandas there, Pradosh and Saran, previously they did so much research helping us with finding out things about Bhubaneswar, and they went to one panda whose name was Sri Vasudev Puja Panda. Huh? Right? And he's the panda's in charge of offering bhog to Lingaraj. And they ask him about the system, what is the conception they have. And they told him a very interesting thing. He said that the pandas there, their understanding is that inside that Shiv Linga there's a Shalagram Shila. And then when they offer bhog, they offer with Gopal mantra. So for this reason, there's no harm. There's no problem in worshipping and taking the prasad of Lingaraj. Aside from that, there's another conception of Lingaraj. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in one purport in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says that the Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas, those followers of Rupa Goswami, they consider Sri Bhubaneswar in the form of Gopalini Shakti. And they pray for the service of the divine couple of Radha Govinda. Sri Bhakti Kusum Shaman Maharaj, he's written one biography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in Bengali, which is translated into English. It's called Prabhupada Srila Saraswati Thakur. And he's described how on the 22nd of June in 1922, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came to Bhubaneswar. He arrived at the train station. He got down off the train and he began to recite a very nice prayer, which you'll see on the bottom of page 1.
Vrindavanavanipate jaya soma soma mole sanandana sanatana naradeja Gopishvara braja bilasi yugandri padme prema prayachcha nirupari namo namaste.
This is a prayer which is written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from his Sankalpa Kapadruma. And it's the pranam mantra, pranam prayer to Gopishwar Mahadev. Interesting thing. So we see Lingaraj, Bhubaneswar, as Ketrapala. It's described by Thakur Bhaktivinoda in his temple that was constructed in Nabadweep, the Yogapit, Mahaprabhu's Janmastan. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, there's one verse, I don't know if Thakur Bhaktivinoda wrote this or not, but there's one verse written on the wall behind that Shivalinga, and the devotees there, they say they don't know who wrote it, but probably they think it was Thakur Bhaktivinoda. In any case, those two Shivalingas who were there were established by Thakur Bhaktivinoda.
Oh, he kicha pala Shiva to me dwayamor Krishna bhakti de amore hare asar.
He's praying to Gopishwar, oh, hey, Shivji, you're Ketrapali. Tumi doyamoy. You're very, very kind, huh? You please be kind to me, huh? Krishna bhakti deha moy. Oh, yes, sudoy. You please give me this Krishna bhakti. Huh? This is the prayer. So, when we go to Jagannath Puri, when we do Parikraman Puri, we like to begin in Bhubaneswar. Because this is the gateway. And we want to enter into this gateway, this understanding that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. That Bhubaneswar is Shivji, and that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta indicates that he's Gopishwar Mahadev. Because when you go to a temple, just like if you go, especially in South India, you see the temples of Gopuram, the top of the temple is very big, and there's many openings in that temple. Those are different gateways for different devas and gandharvas and siddhas and charanas, different elevated personalities, to go and have darshan. There's so many different gateways to the temple. The Jagannath Mandir has four primary gateways for human beings. One for Brahmins, one for Kshatriyas, one for Vaishyas, and one for Sudras, traditionally. There's so many different gateways to the temple, so many different ways we can go in. We want to enter into this temple of Jagannath Puri, but not through a physical temple gateway. We want to enter through the gateway of the conception of our Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, before he makes this point, that the Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas, the followers of Rupa Goswami, they see Lingaraj as Gopalini Shakti, and they worship him like that. So we want to go through that conception. And when we do our Sri Ketra Parikrama, we start in Bhubaneswar, and then the next place we go to, which we'd like to talk about now, is the conception of Rupa Goswami in the Lita Madhav. Not far from Bhubaneswar, a little south of Bhubaneswar on the way to Puri, is a place known as Satyabhamapur. You may read about it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That place is a place where Rupa Goswami rested on his way to Jagannath Puri. And there he had a vision dream. And Satyabhama Radha, you can mark my putting those two names together, Satyabhama Radha came to him in a dream, vision, and told him, I want you to write two dramas. You write one drama about Brajlila and one drama about Dwarkalila. So then Rupa Goswami, he went to Jagannath Puri and he saw Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu gave him the same instruction. So we want to enter through the conception of Rupa Goswami, because Rupa Goswami, he understands Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadhamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. He understands, he knows the Mano Bhishta, the innermost desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu is in Radha Bhav and Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. So this Rupa Manjari, who's always serving Srimati Radhika in very intimate ways, has come again in Gaura Leela in a male form to help Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taste that Radha Bhav and to help establish his mission. And one of the ways that he helped establish that mission is writing this wonderful drama known as Lalita Madhav. Now when Rupa Goswami was in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu gave him an instruction.
Krishnire bahira nahi kari abraja hoite rajachari krishna kabu najana kanhante.
He says, hey, you write these poems, but one thing, don't try to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Vrindavana paritya parikam nagachchati. Krishna never takes one step outside of Vrindavan. Don't do it. This is Mahaprabhu's stern order to Rupa Goswami. That you write these dramas. You write one drama about Brajlila, another drama about Dwarkalila, but don't take Krishna out of Vrindavan. So then Rupa Goswami, he began to write this pastimes known as Lalita Madhav. It's a very elaborate book, a very elevated book, very difficult literature to understand. Once we were reading this book and we went to our Guru Maharaj with some questions, I have to tell you, in the beginning. And our Guru Maharaj, he told us, he said that, Are Baba, he said, what will you understand of this book? He said, this is a very, very difficult book to understand. We can just try in some puppet-like way to repeat some things from Rupa Goswami and give some obvious conclusions about it. In the he describes Brajlila, Rupa Goswami describes Brajlila up until the second act. And in the second act, he describes the killing of Shankarchuda. That Radha and Krishna, they'd met in one kunja near to Govardhan, right near Kusum Sarovar, this place is there. And that while they were meeting together, all of a sudden Makara, Radharani's little senile and nearly blind grandmother, she came in that place. She said, hey! What's going on here? Huh? You debauchee, you get away from my Radharani. She became very angry, and Krishna became a little afraid. And Krishna went and hid in the forest. So then Makara, she said, hey, you debauchee, you can't get away from me like that. I'm going to catch you. So Makara, she went looking for Krishna. So hiding in that forest also was one of the attendants, former attendants of Kubera. He's a former attendant because his name was Shankarchuda. He'd stolen a very, very valuable gem from the go-down in the warehouse of Kubera. And he was keeping that thing. And later this Shankarchuda was sent by Kamsa from Mathura that, hey, you go. I heard that the most beautiful lady in creation is there in Vrindavan. I want you to kidnap her and bring her to me. So Shankarchuda had gone there and was watching and seeing Radharani. And then Krishna came there and he said, oh, this boy looks very strong. I better not do anything. And then Krishna went and hid in the forest. A Makara was going and looking for Krishna. And suddenly she saw this huge demon in the forest. And Makara became frightened. And she said, hey, what is this? Krishna, this is not good. We've heard from Gargi and other different personalities in Vrindavan that you manifest different forms. But this form's not a nice form. I don't like seeing this form. Nalita was there. Nalita said, "Hey, you Pagalini, you mad woman, that's not Krishna, that's a terrible demon." And that Shankarachuda demon, then he came out and it's described that he grabbed Radharani by her hair and he began to drag Radharani away. And Radharani began crying, calling out, and the gopis were calling out. And suddenly Krishna came there. And Krishna, his words are described by Rupa Goswami. Radha paradini mohustvaya no sastim. Radha paradini mohustvaya na sastim. Shaknomi kartam akilam guru esha keda. Sarvangani amabhidhavati lupta dharma. Twam mukti kala rajani. Bhatta kim karishye. He says, Twam mukti kala rajani. Bhatta kim karishye. He's with chivalrous pride. He says, "Oh, you great demon, Radha Paradini, who've done such a terrible offense to Srimati Radharani, I feel great pain in my heart." Krishna says, "Why do I feel great pain? I'm feeling great pain because I won't be able to spend all of eternity torturing you." He said, "You should know that the wicked black knight of death, known as Krishna, is now chasing you and is about to cover you with all its limbs, just as the night covers the day with its limbs of darkness." He said, "How will I torture you forever if you merely die?" "This is my frustration," Krishna says. These are Krishna's chivalrous words. So then he went, and it's described by Rupa Goswami that with his fist, Krishna beat Shankarachuda thousands of times, and Shankarachuda lay dead. And then Krishna took that gem from the head of Shankarachuda. And he was about to give it to Radharani, and suddenly he noticed that Balaram and some of the suckers had come. And Krishna became a little shy to give that to Radhika. So he gave it to Dauji, Balaram. But Balaram, he knows Krishna's heart. And Balaram, secretly, he gave it to Radharani on the side. So Radhika had that gem, and that's described in the second act of the Lita Madhav. Then in the third act, Rupa Goswami describes that Akura has come to Vrindavan and that he took Rama and Krishna. At that time, the gopis, they were feeling this separation known as Bhavi Viraha. There's three types of separation. Bhavi, Bhavan, and Bhuta. Bhavi Viraha is that separation which is about to take place. When Akura came to Vrindavan, all the gopis became terrified. The rumor quickly spread, Akura is going to take Krishna away from Vrindavan. And all the gopis were crying and crying. They couldn't sleep at night. This is Bhavi Viraha. Feeling some separation and anticipation. Then Bhavan Viraha next takes place. This Bhavan Viraha is separation in the act of happening. The gopis, their love for Krishna was a great secret. They never expressed it before anyone. They never openly expressed their love for Krishna in front of their superiors. But when Akura came with his chariot and began to take Krishna and Balaram away from Vrindavan, all the gopis came to that place. And they didn't care anymore. And they began to express their love to Krishna. And they cried in so many different ways. This is described very nicely in Mathura Mangal by Gopal Krishna. Of Vaishnava. Isn't it, Prabhuji? That's another subject. Anyway, this is Bhavan Viraha. And they don't care. They threw all their shame to the wind. They couldn't tolerate it. Even though their superiors, their parents, their husbands, their children, everyone was there, they didn't care. Krishna and Balaram were about to leave Vrindavan. And Krishna at that time, he told them, he said, arti nishtamishra bhavi bhavya punar api maya mangala sangamuva. My dear Brajbasis, you be peaceful, it's okay. Somehow or other, you tolerate these distressful days and nights coming. In the future, there will again be milan, there will again be union, I'll return. So, it's described at that time that Purnamasi Devi, Yogamaya, when she saw the marks that the chariot had made from Akura in the earth, she spoke the following words. She said, Yena shandana neni nirmita maha samanta dhambad idamha sarvam sahayapi nirbaharam abud duradvidenam bhuva. She said that Mother Earth, she's famous as Kshama. She's very tolerant. She's tolerant of everything, but still Mother Earth, she's cracking and splitting because she can't tolerate the distress, the separation from Krishna. In a very nice verse, Rupa Goswami, he's described this also.
Labdha brahmena harata hari sarvarisham vinyasyata cha viraha kalakala kutam gandini tanuja mandara budarena vikshobita pritu lagokula sagoroyam.
Vrindadevi there was standing and crying. Vrindadevi, she said that very wonderful analogy. Just like the devas, they came and they churned the ocean, the Kshirasagara, the ocean of milk. So similarly, Akura, he's come and he's churning the great ocean of Gokul. This Akura is like the Mandara mountain, which is used to churn the ocean of milk. And this Akura, who's like the Mandara mountain, he's churned the great ocean of Gokul, which is a place of milk. And he's extracted the moon of Krishna and created the Kalakuta poison, the Brajbasi's anguish separation from Krishna. So he took Krishna away from Vrindavan. And at that time, Srimati Radhika, she went mad in separation from Krishna. She became Dibyonmada, a transcendental madness which consisted of Urdguna, uncontrollable giddiness, and Chitrajalpa, so many different mad raving speeches. Radhika, when Krishna left, she said, Kvananda kula chandrama kva shiki chandra kalankriti kva mandra murali rava kva nasurindra nila dyuti kva rasa rasa tandavi kva saki jiva roksha siddhir nidir mama suritama kva tavahanta ha digvidi. Radhika was looking and looking. Where is Krishna? Where is Nandakula Chandrama, the moon of the Nanda dynasty? Where is Sikhi Chandra Kalankriti, Krishna, who keeps a peacock feather on his head? Kwa Mandra Murali Rava, where is that Krishna who plays his flute so nicely? Kwa Rasa Rasa Tandavi, where is that Krishna who dances in the Rasa Leela? O Sakhi Jiva Rokshadir Nidir Mama. He is the soothing balm for my afflicted heart. Ha dig, ha dig. Alas, alas. Radhika, at that time, she decided there's no more point in living. At that time, she saw a crow flying over and going toward Mathura. And Radhika, she called, hey, Obhai, Opakibhai, you come. She called that crow and she said, Pratavaya samandali mukutehe niskramya gostarita Sandesham vada vandona taramamum vrindatara vrindyayame Dagdum prana pasum sikhi viraha burinde marangale Sandram nagara chandra bindirabhasada sargala bandhanam. So, O crow, O brother, you please, you go and you see the king of Vrindavan, Krishna. When you go to Mathura. And when you go to see him, you please offer obeisances to him. And you give him the following message on my behalf. You tell him, O moon of amorous heroes, the flames of separation, this viraha agni, from you they're now beginning to burn the animal of my life breath in the form of the house of my body. Just like in Vedic culture, when there's a fire in the house, our Guru Maharaj used to quote this verse and he would ask this question. What is the first duty of the grihastha when there's a fire? If there's a fire at the goshala, what's the first duty? You have to let the cows out. You have to release the cows. You have to release the animals. So Radharani, she's telling Krishna that this body of mine, this is my house, and it's on fire. So there's one animal inside of this house, and that animal is my life breath. You should let that animal go. But there's one bolt on the door. And unless you open that bolt, that animal can't get outside. And what is that bolt? That bolt is a strong bolt of your words. I'll return. I'll return. So Radhika, she was feeling like that. And Rupa Goswami describes a very amazing thing. He says that Shyama Viraha Unmadini Radha, Radhika became completely mad in separation from Krishna. And then with her intimate Sakhi Vishaka, she went to the Kalindi, Jamuna, and she jumped into the river and she committed suicide. Radharani killed herself. At that time, Lalita, who was there, she said, Na uno hado utida, na uno hado utida. Never to rise again, never to rise again. So, there's some problem here. Several problems are here. One problem is that if Radharani has died, how will she again have union with Krishna? What kind of drama is Rupa Goswami writing? This is very, very terrible. We were just quite quoting in our last magazine, Vishwanath's injunction. Madharena samapayat. Then when you write something, the injunction is, the literary injunction is, you should end with some sweetness. So what is Rupa Goswami doing? What kind of sweetness is this? Radharani is committing suicide. A very terrible thing. Ghastly thing. How will Radha and Krishna be united? How is it possible? And moreover, Rupa Goswami, he's disobeyed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu told him, that Vrindavana Pratyagat Padikam Nagashati. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Don't take Krishna out of Vrindavan. That was his instruction to Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami wrote this book, and in the third act, he disobeyed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Krishna left Vrindavan. According to the Aparavichar, the apparent consideration. So we have to reconcile this thing. We have to understand this thing in terms of tattva. After Radharani and Vishakha drowned, Kalindi Devi, Jamuna Devi, she took Radharani to her father, Suryadev. Her brother is Yamaraj. Don't mess around with Jamuna Devi. She has a very powerful brother. Her brother is Yamaraj, and her father is Suryadev. So when Radharani went there, she's always, what does Radharani do every day at noontime? Where does she go? Can someone tell us? She goes to Radhakund. But there's another place that's also said that she goes, near to Radhakund, and that's Suryakund. And she does some worship. That's where she's supposed to go. She goes to Radhakund. But she's telling her mother-in-law, yeah, I'm going to Suryakund. And she worships a deity there. That's Radharani's Ishtadev, supposedly. Suryadev. And actually that deity is really Krishna. That's another story. But anyway, so when she went to Suryadev, she wanted to offer something. So what did she have? She had that jewel that Krishna had taken from the head of Shankachuda. So she took that jewel and like some flowers, she offered that to Suryadev. And then Suryadev, his dear devotee, is Satyajit. Satyajit had a daughter named Satyabhama. And then it's described that Radharani, she entered into Satyabhama in Dwarka. Rupa Goswami writes like that. So, meanwhile, this is a very big subject. We become a little bewildered even how to try to describe this thing. Such a very amazing, amazing story. Meanwhile, Rukmi, he heard from Shuta Shrava Devi, the mother of Sishupal, who was living in Vrindavan. That Chandravali was there. So Rukmi, he went and kidnapped Chandravali. Chandravali, Rupa Goswami previously describes, is the elder cousin sister of Srimati Radharani. And Rukmi kidnapped Chandravali and took her to Kundina. And no one stopped Rukmi because Krishna and his relatives were all in Mathura, and Govardhan Malak, Chandravali's so-called husband, he just died. So no one was there to stop him. And then hearing from Narad Muni is a big troublemaker. He went around and told all these different kings that actually, your daughter's Your real daughter's there in Braj, in the form of some gopis. So they went and they took permission from Nanda Maharaj and his kings. They took Nagnajit, King Nagnajit, he took Padma Devi. The king of Madhura, he took Shama. King of Kayari took Bhadra. The king of Saibya, he took Saibya Devi. And then Bhanasura, big demon, he went and he kidnapped the other 16,000 gopis who performed Katyayani Vrata. So then in Lalita Madhava, Gargi, she's watching all of this. And Gargi's Vrinda Devi, she's Purnamasi, she's watching all this thing. And she says at that time, Sudamae Tadamuhadajam, Chandhand Pahudinam Kana A, Bisa Pahudinam Kana A, Eka Tatvavi, Vigari Dam Bina Javati, Tavadam Eka Vigahada, Samvihanam Aai Cheya, Tabanjidam. Odu, she says it, I've heard from my father's mouth that although the gopis headed by Chandrabhanu's daughter, Chandravali, and the queens in Dwarka are expansions of the same spiritual potency, their forms are separate and distinct. But now it's said that with the aid of Yoga Maya, each gopi is identical with a specific queen. And each pair of gopi and queen is a single person in a single form. This is a very amazing thing. Generally, we understand that the Mahishis, the queens in Dwarka, are expansions of the gopis. They're Kaya Vyuha, they're expansions of Srimati Radhika and the gopis of Braj. But here, it's said that in Lalita Madhava, in this pastime, that the gopis entered into the queens and they became one. Radharani entered into Satyabhama, and Radha, Satyabhama became one. Therefore, Narad Muni, he says in the fifth act, text 13, Braja Ramanya Prema Murchita Vatante Kintu Yoga Mayaiva Vipriyoge Pi Priyasanga Sukha Sanga Manaya Tatrai Vachadaya Pura Ramanishu Sabeda Abhimana Vastita Dirga Swapna Iva Samyag Anubhavayam Babuvai Vire Yastudava Yana Kurukshetra Yatrayor Britta Vakshamana Charitrashtaha. He says that the girls of Braj, they were overwhelmed with love for Krishna. To please him, to reunite them with their beloved, Yoga Maya transformed them into the women of Dwarka. They were the same. But by the potency of Yoga Maya, they now think that their previous existence in Braj was just a dream. And they think that Uddhava's visit and their own journey to Kurukshetra to be only stories. A very amazing thing. So Rukmi, he kidnapped Chandravali and brought her to his father Bhishmaka's kingdom, and they gave her the name Rukmini. And Rukmini was there. And Rukmini, her brother Rukmi, he wanted to marry her to Sishupal. So Sishupal, he wrote a marriage letter, a love letter, to Rukmini. Very interesting letter. He says, Pranayo damagosha nandane Sishupale tavayo vanchite Naradeva varishuchashyavo Hridayanadi gune vishimbatam. He says, may your love for the youthful Sishupal, who is the best of kings and who has great virtues, which delight his father Damagosh, awaken love in you. So Rukmini, she saw this letter. She wasn't very interested. She has her mind fixed on someone else. She's thinking of Krishna. So she took the same letter and she sent the same exact letter back, only she changed 5 words. She wrote back, Pranayo mama goshanandane Pasupale navayovananchite Paradeva vari duptasravo Hridanayanadi gune Jimbatam. She says that I've fallen in love with a young gopa who is the son of a cowherd. He is the Supreme Personality of God, and hearing of his transcendental qualities at once fills the heart with transcendental bliss. So then she called for one Brahman, his name was Sunanda. And Rukmini, she wrote a letter to Krishna. Acharam narasa rasitai pratipaksham rajahamsanikurambam Krishna ghana samritais chishitam chandra kavitim sincha. She said, O dark cloud of Krishna, with the sound of your thunder, please quickly chase away these enemy Rajahamsa swans and sprinkle your nectar rain in this thirsty Chandra, Chandakavati bird. Hmm? The Rajahamsa swans, they become afraid when they hear some thunder. So she's comparing these different kings headed by Sishupal to the Rajahamsa swans. And the Chandakavati birds, they only drink water coming from the clouds. So she's praying, Krishna, you're like Ganesham, right? You're cloud-like, so you please come. And in your cloud-like form, you do these two things. So Krishna wrote back. Krishna said, Nikila sikininayana pi sukhani jatya sitapangahi ramayati Krishna sughano brindavana ghandini or eva. He said, the black cloud of Krishna brings happiness to the sikini birds who gaze at him from the corners of their dark eyes. He delights the fragrant sikini birds of the Vrindavan forest. In other words, Krishna only wants to be with the gopis. He's politely telling Rukmini, thank you very much, but this Krishna cloud, he wants to delight the sikini birds of Vrindavan. Krishna didn't know that Rukmini was Chandravali. At that time, Krishna had two devotees there in Krata and Kaushika, and they wrote a letter and they requested Krishna, he please come and kidnap Rukmini. So Krishna became indebted to his devotees, Krata and Kaushika, so he agreed. He went there and he saw that Rukmini was getting ready for her marriage. And they were having some sacrifice with 10 million offerings, ghee offerings to Durga Devi. It was a very big kunda, and they were offering ghee in the fire. So Rukmini, she was thinking to herself, what is this body? Nasty body. So many lusty men like Sishupal and others are just lusting over this body and they want this thing. This body is meant for Krishna. And now my brother has become my enemy. And my father has become my enemy. And they're going to give me to this Sishupal. Better I give up this body. So per the tradition in Kundina, she was going first to have darshan of Durga at the temple before she would go to her wedding. And so when she went there, she was thinking to herself that she'll commit suicide. At the same time, Krishna had come there with his friend Suparna, Garuda. And Krishna was disguised as a dancer. Krishna told Garuda, he said, all these years of dancing in Vrindavan, this served me very well. Now I can enter in as a dancer. So Krishna went in there to that place. And when Suparna, Garuda, he saw Rukmini, he said, hey Krishna, oh, Deki, Deki, you look, such a beautiful girl. Krishna says, Krishna Sakhi Bhavatu, kim etena yadesha rupa matrina na haryo hari. He said, Krishna, yes, it's so. But what does it matter? Krishna is not enchanted by mere beauty. Krishna is not just attracted by mere beauty. Krishna's Rasaraj. Krishna's Bhava Grahi Janardhan. Krishna loves the devotion of his devotees. So Krishna was standing there, and Rukmini was coming close by the fire, and she was about to jump into the fire, and suddenly Krishna recognized, hey, this is Chandravali. Now Krishna had known, he'd heard, that Radhika had committed suicide, and that all the gopis of Braj were gone. But Krishna said, hey, this is Chandravali. Why is Krishna attracted to Chandravali? It's not very nice. We should ask this question. Krishna is only attracted to Radharani, so what business does he have with Chandravali? Sometimes, Krishna's on his way going to see Radharani, and Chandravali comes out. Chandravali looks like Radharani. And when Krishna sees Chandravali, he becomes ecstatic because Chandravali reminds him of Radharani, and he becomes bewildered. And then Chandravali, she grabs him, come to my kunj. She takes him away. As we described yesterday, Krishna sometimes becomes ecstatic just when someone puts a champak flower garland on his chest, he remembers Radharani. So what to speak? But Chandravali, Radharani's cousin sister, she reminds him. So Krishna, this is Chandravali. So he went there. Radhika was with, Chandravali was a saibya, her sakhi. And she's just getting ready to jump into the fire, and Krishna came there. Saibya then was known as Madhavi. And Krishna grabbed her. And Chandravali Rukmini, she said, hey, what is this? And Madhavi began to scold him, hey, you debauchee, you lumpata rogue, what do you think you're doing? You're just some low-class dancer. She didn't recognize Krishna. Will you let my mistress alone? And then Rukmini, she thought it was Madhavi grabbing her and trying to stop her. She says, hey, Madhavi, you leave me alone. Let me go. And she grabbed a hold of what she thought was Madhavi's hand. And she felt, whoa, what is this? This is a man's hand. And she turned and looked and she saw Krishna. And she fainted. In ecstasy. So then we know the story that Krishna, he rescued Rukmini and he fought against all the warriors there. It's said by Rupa Goswami that Krishna, in great chivalrous rush, he picked up his conch shell and he put it to his mouth and he began to blow the conch shell, and suddenly he became stunned in ecstasy. Because when he put that conch shell to his mouth, Krishna remembered the breast of Mother Yashoda. When I was a young boy, he was sucking Mother Yashoda's breast. He became stunned in ecstasy. So then with the help of Lord Balaram, they defeated Sishupal and all those nasty kings. And then Maharaj Bhishmaka, Rukmini's father, so-called father, Rukmini Chandravali, came and said, oh, this is very good. You please marry Rukmini. And Krishna said, yes, very nice. But Bhishmaka Maharaj, he said, but you don't mind. We have one condition. Krishna said, yes, what is it? He said, my request is that you can marry her, but you have to take a vow that you'll not marry anyone else. Ekopatni Bratta. Krishna already did that in Ram Leela. So Krishna, he's thinking to himself, what will I do? This is a very, very heavy vow. But Krishna, then he thought, Radharani's gone. All the gopis are gone. What is the purpose of my existence? At least Chandravali, she reminds me of Radharani. She said, okay. So try to understand what Rupa Goswami has done. He's written a drama. He's taken Krishna away from Vrindavan. He's described that Radharani has committed suicide. And then Krishna ends up marrying Chandravali and takes a vow that he won't marry anyone else. How is there going to be a nice ending to this story? Huh? What a terrible story. Huh? So, Krishna told him, Rajan Tatastu, so be it, O king. So, the story goes on and many details are given there. But after Satyajit, we said how Satyajit, he got this daughter, Satyabhama, and he also got another gift from his deity, Suryadev. That was known as the Shamantaka jewel. And the Shamantaka jewel was the gem that Radharani had given to him, that Balaram had given to her, that Krishna had given to Balaram, and the Shankachuda had stolen. So he was worshipping at Shamantaka jewel. And then later on, he blasphemed Krishna, saying that Krishna killed his brother Prasena. So then Uddhava, when Satyajit found out that he was wrong about that, Uddhava advised Satyajit that, hey, you should give this Shamantaka jewel and Satyabhama to Krishna. So Satyajit, like a good materialist, he thought, well, anyway, these are two big things to give up, women and money. Satyabhama and the Shamantaka jewel. But of the two, he was more attached to the money. Satyabhama is his daughter. So he gave Satyabhama to Krishna. And Bridadevi, she came and she gave Radharani Satyabhama to who? Who did she give? Who is Krishna's representative there in Dwarka? Rukmini Chandravali. So she went there and she said, hey, Bridadevi said, here's the daughter of Satyajit, Satyabhama Devi. You please take care of her. As soon as Rukmini saw this girl, she didn't recognize Radharani because Radharani had entered in the body of Satyabhama. But she thought, oh, this is very bad. If my Krishna sees this girl, he's going to become very attracted to her. Somehow I have to keep her away from Krishna. And then Rukmini noticed that Satyabhama was looking very sad. So Rukmini, she said, oh, hey Saki, my dear friend, why are you looking so sad? So then, Satyabhama Radha, she said, you forgive me, she said, but I'm already attached to another man. I've given my heart to him. And if I even hear the word man, I may leave my body. If you want to make me happy, you please give me a place where I don't have to see any other man. So Rukmini Devi was very, very happy. She said, yes. That's no problem. We can take care of that. She said, we have this garden. My husband, one day he was feeling separation from Vrindavan. So he called for Vishwakarma. He said, "Hey Vishwakarma, you get to work, make a park for me." And he made a park there in Dwarka, known as Nava Vrindavan. And he put Govardhan Hill and Jamuna River and so many different things all there. And he said, "You can stay there." So Radharani Satyabhama was very happy because this place is like Vrindavan. And so she's wandering around in that forest, in that park, and then one day she saw that Vishwakarma had made a deity of Krishna. And the deity was standing there like this. And Radharani Satyabhama, she saw that deity and she said, "Oh, so young jivita bandhuri indu vadane bhuyo samasadita." She said, "Again, I've obtained the most beloved of my Lord of my life." And she started to run to that deity. The Navabrinda Devi was there with her. She said, "Hey, Tao Tao." She said, "Actually, that's not Krishna. He's very, very hard. You put your hand in his chest and just see. He's like a stone." So Radhika, she put her hand in the chest of the deity and she saw, "Oh, it's a deity." And she was very disappointed. But then every day, she was coming there and she was worshipping that deity. Krishna, he says, "Yayatamam prapadyante tam sataiva pajamyam." He always reciprocates this devotee. Don't think that Radharani was the only one feeling separation. Just as Radhika was feeling separation from Krishna, Krishna was feeling separation from Radharani. So Krishna, sometimes he would make some excuse. He'd say, "Hey, Rukmini, I'm really sorry, but I'm supposed to go meet some kings. They have some work. They want to ask me some questions. You mind? I'll be gone most of the day today." And Rukmini said, "Yes, what to do? You go." So then Krishna, he'd go with his friend, the son of Sandapani Muni, who was Madhu Mangal, according to Rupa Goswami. And they went to that Navabrindavan forest. And Krishna would wander about in that forest and remember Radharani, feeling separation. And he knew this deity was there. And one day he went to see this deity of himself. And he saw, "Hey, Madhu Mangal, katam aranya desha dharin haranyam ma ranga pratima. How did this deity come? This is a great jungle. This must be some creation of Vishwakarma." And Krishna, who's sarvagya, he knows everything, but still he asked Madhu Mangal, "Who's coming and daily worshipping this deity? I see that someone is worshipping this deity with so much love. How can you tell? Because the tilak is crooked and it's smeared with their tears. And I can see their hands are shaking with great love when they put the garland on the body of this deity." Krishna thought, when he went there, he said, "Today, I want to catch the person who's worshipping this deity." So he told Madhu Mangal, "Hey, you take this deity and you put it in the bushes there." And then Krishna stood in the same place. And he acted like that deity. And then Radharani with her companion, her Sakhi Navabrinda Devi, she came there before Krishna to do her puja. And then Krishna saw, "Hey, it's Radharani. Hanta hanta katam saiva yama pranavallabha radha." Krishna said, "Hey, this is my pranavallabha radha." And Radharani says, "What? What is this? Oh, the deity's talking? Oh, Vishwakarma's made such a nice deity. It's like one of those things they have in Walt Disney World or something where they talk and they move like this, Very, very good. He can even talk, And at that time, Radhika folded her hands and she was crying and she said, "Ai padimbe." Padimbe, pratibimbe means deity, a reflection. "Is Padmalocha, lotus eyed Krishna, all right? Is everything auspicious with him?" And Krishna said, "Ai maya yancha mai radike." Oh, illusion of Radharani created by some magical spell. Krishna is all right now. All auspiciousness is with him because you're just like Radharani and you're here. What a very amazing thing. Radha and Krishna are together. But they're thinking that they're not. Radharani's thinking that Krishna is a statue and Krishna's thinking Radharani's some kind of robot thing or something. Radharani, she turned to Brindadevi, Navabrindadevi, and she said, "Sakhi, padimavi ekam, edam kim pi mahuram varidi." What a wonderful deity Vishwakarma has made. He's speaking so sweetly. And in his heart, Krishna was thinking, "Oho Gandharva purakari no api maya Gandharva. Oh, this magical mirage of Radharani is very wonderful. Radharani is clearly reflected in this place. Then Radharani, she began to cry in a very piteous voice. And she said, Ai Krishna Padime, O deity of Krishna, Ha Durbhagani, I am most ill-fated. O deity, I am begging some alms from you. I am feeling so much separation from Krishna. If you want to fulfill my desire, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that when we worship the deity, we have something we want to ask from the deity. That's why everybody worships the deity. Even Radharani, she also has something. So what does Radharani ask from the deity? She said, I'm feeling so much separation from Krishna. She said, if you want to please me, if you want to fulfill my desire to satisfy my worship, then you please appear before me as a living, moving person. Then my eyes will get some pleasure. Rupa Goswami describes that this is known as prema vaichitya, when the lover and the beloved are together, but they're feeling separation. This thing happened when Akura was taking Krishna away from Vrindavan, and this Bhavan Viraha was there. Radha and Krishna were together, but they were feeling so much separation. This happened at Prem Sarovar, near to Barsana. You may know that Radha and Krishna, they formed a kund from their tears. Radharani was sitting on the lap of Krishna, and Madhu Mangal drove away a bumblebee and said, Oh, Madhusudan. Madhusudan means a bumblebee. Madhusudan is gone. But Madhusudan also means Krishna. Radhika sitting on the lap of Krishna, she begins to cry in separation. She's sitting on Krishna's lap. But she's feeling separation. And then Krishna began to feel separation from her also. And he began to cry. And their tears form this kund, known as Prem Sarovar. This is known as Prema Vaichitya. So many things happen in the Lita Madhav. We won't go into all of that. In the 10th act of Dasamayanka, the drama, Rupa Goswami describes again union and how all the residents of Braj were united in Dwarka. At that time, Krishna, he told Radharani, Paneshwari Radhe, Pratayasva, Kimata Param Priye Karavani. Hey Radhe, you please me so much. Now what can I do for you? What would you like from me? And that time Radharani replied, Yate lila para parimala dogari vanya parita danyakshoni vila sati briti maturi maduri bihi tatrasma bischatula pasupi bhava mugadantaribi samvitam tvam kalaya vadanulasi vena viharam. O Chatula Chanchula Krishna, O fickle-natured Krishna, she said, this is my prayer. Please come to Braj Bhumi. Please come to Braj Bhumi. She said, that Vrindavan is still there where you played during your Kaishor Leela. She said, the jungles are there. The Kunjas are there. The peacocks are there. The Jamuna River is there. Giri Govardhan is there. Everything is there. Everyone is there. Everyone is waiting for you. You please come there. Let Braj Leela again be manifest. Kaviraj Goswami is described, Tomara Charana Mora Brajapura Gare Udaya Kore Chadi Tadevansha Pure. Radharani, she prays, O Krishna, if your lotus feet again come to our home in Vrindavan, then our desires will be fulfilled. Say Baba, say Krishna, say Vrindavana, Jabe Pari, Tabe Hoya, Vanshita Purana. This meeting with Krishna, thus meeting with Krishna and thinking of the Vrindavan forest, Radharani longed for Krishna to take her again to Vrindavan to fulfill her desire in that calm atmosphere. So Krishna, he said, Priyate the Tastu, let it be granted. And Radharani, she said, Kadamviya, how is it possible? How can it be? Krishna didn't say anything. He just looked toward the south, as though he were waiting for someone. At that time, Gargi, the daughter of Gargamuni, along with Ekanangsa, Yashoda's daughter Yogamaya, or Subhadra, came there. Yogamaya at that time, she said, Saki Radhe Mata Sang Sayam Kritaha Yato bhavatyaha srimad gokule tatraiva vartante kintu mayaiva kalakshipartam anyata prapanchitam taretan manasya anubhuyatam krishno apyesa tatra gatta eva patiyayatam. Yoga Maya said, Radhe, don't doubt. At this very moment, you're standing in the beautiful land of Braj Bhumi. She said, you never left Braj Bhumi. No one has left. Krishna didn't leave, nor did you leave. She said, I did all of this just to create something wonderful. So in this way, this is the tattva vichar. Rupa Goswami didn't disobey Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the aparavichar, by the apparent consideration, it seemed that Rupa Goswami disobeyed and that he took Krishna away from Vrindavan. But that's only the apparent consideration. Rupa Goswami created this intense drama. Such a drama we can't imagine. If you go to see a love story in some movie theater between some mundane boy and girl, always there's some drama there. There's some antagonist, some person who wants to kidnap the girl. Or there's some sickness which she overcomes. Or something is there, some obstacles are there between that couple's love. And this is the nature of rasa. Rasa is that, rasa, there's some relishment to rasa when there's some obstacle there. So Rupa Goswami has created such an obstacle that we can't imagine. Krishna left Vrindavan. Radharani committed suicide. All the gopis were taken away. Rukmini, Chandravali becomes Rukmini, and Krishna takes a vow that I'll marry Rukmini and no one else. But still at the end, Rupa Goswami brings them together. So this is a very wonderful thing. We're just at the end of our time now. So tomorrow we'll explain something about this story in connection with Jagannath Puri Dham and its meaning. So, are there any questions or comments? Anyone? It's a very elevated subject.
Yeah.
I don't. Mataji? Bhavi?
Bhavan?
And Bhuti?
Bhuti.
Bhuti is after the fact. Before Krishna left Vrindavan, that's Bhavi. That's an anticipation. And then Bhavan, when it was happening, when Akura was taking Krishna away, that's Bhavan Viraha. And then Bhuta Viraha is when after Akura is taking Krishna away, a separation. For us, we could describe Jagannath Puri Dham. I've not done so. We could describe Jagannath Puri Dham from Padma Purana. We could describe it from Skanda Purana. We could describe it from Brahma Purana. There are elaborate descriptions in all three of those Puranas. And there's also there's different Stala Puranas, such as Madhulapanji and others, which are written about Jagannath and Jagannath Puri. But we're not so much interested in the conception given in those. We just lightly touched on it. And those Puranas describe that even a donkey has four arms. And even the insects and everybody have four arms. And it's a very nice place. And if you go there and you lay down and sleep, then you get the benefit of being in samadhi. And if you lay down, you get the benefit of doing obeisances. If you walk, you get the benefit of doing prakrama. And if you eat fish, you get the benefit of eating avishya. But we're not very attracted to those things. We want the conception of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So yeah, we're emphasizing that thing.
Almost like Jagannath Puri is made for
Gauri
Dham.
Made for what?
It's made for
Gauri Dham. Yes. Jagannath Puri Dham is the Dham for the age of Kali. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was come in this age. So there's a special connection between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri. I don't think we'll speak more about it later, but I can mention an interesting point. We're getting ready to write some article about this in the future. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled throughout India, throughout South India, preaching. When he went to Sri Rangam, he was staying there, and the deity of Ranganath is a very beautiful deity of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Narayan, in a reclining position. And he's the Lord. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some people say he made with his own hands some deities when he was there. Other people say that they weren't made by him, but they were worshipped by him. In any case, they were worshipped by him. It's accepted by everyone. And what were those deities? Radha Krishna? They were deities of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. And they're still worshipped today. They have a very wonderful temple there in Sri Rangam. We visited that place. On the wall, in Tamil language, they have the Shikshastika prayers written all over. And there's a deity, there's a Garuda Stamba in front of the deities of Jagannath. And with his hand against the Garuda Stamba and looking to Jagannath is a deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's worshipped by Sri Vaishnavas. I mean, what the conception is, we don't know. But anyway, it's a very interesting place. But from that, we can conclude something. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he's in that place, in that deity of Ranganath, is a very important deity, he's a self-manifested deity, they say. But still, Mahaprabhu wasn't completely satisfied. He was wishing Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. From that, we can understand that this is Mahaprabhu's Ishtadev. These are the main deities of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, when he was in Navadvip, he took sannyas. Immediately, he asked Keshava Bharati, as we said yesterday, "Oh Guru Maharaj, please give me permission now. I want to go to Jagannath Puri." He wanted immediately to go to Jagannath Puri. So there's some reason for that. Tomorrow we'll describe something more about how Jagannath is Madhurja Rasa Ganayati Sri Murti. He's a condensed form of the conjugal mellow. A very wonderful thing.
Huh? Can you say that for us, Jagannath Puri is like a stage for Mahaprabhu?
Something like that. You could maybe say that. We'll describe some more. Even now, we said many things that we've left many strings untied with many different unanswered questions. And tomorrow we're going to endeavor to try to answer and bring all these strings together in one circle. Maharaj?
This concept of dual divinity, Shiva and Vishnu, sometimes it's expressed as Sri Advaita is also Sada Shiva.
It's described in that he's Mahavishnu, but sometimes he's also described as Sadashiva or Shivji. So we consider him like that, also to be similar to Harihara. In a similar way. And he's coming for a specific purpose, as we described something of yesterday, because he sees Mahaprabhu like Krishna, and he wants that. That's his very strong vision. For the devotee of the Lord, it's not a whimsical thing how they conceive of the Lord. It's a question of the heart. And they can't conceive of the Lord in any other way. Elsewhere in the Lita Madhav, Rupa Goswami, he describes that when Satyabhama Radha heard about Krishna and Dwarka, they said, "Oh, Dwarkadish, he's so beautiful, and so this and that and the other." And Radharani, she said, "I'm not interested. I'm not interested in anyone except for Nandanandan Krishna and Vrindavan." So the gopis, and then there's a pastime Rupa Goswami mentions in Lita Madhav, which took place near Govardhan, in the place known as, we went there. Paita, known as Paita, where Krishna, he decided to play a trick on the gopis. Mm-hmm. And he left the Rasalila and he hid in the bushes. And then when the gopis came, he thought, "Oh, we'll have some fun." So then Krishna manifested form of Lord Narayana, Shankar Chakra Gadapadma. And the gopis, they came there, and he said, "Well, look, there in the bushes, something, it must be Krishna, it's blue." And they went up there, and saw, it's just Lord Narayana. And he said, "Oh, Dhanavas Narayana, hey, please can you tell us, where is Krishna?" And they weren't interested in Lord Narayana. It wasn't like they started offering prayers, and this and that and the other. They just, "Where is Krishna? We want to know where Krishna is." Huh? And then when Radharani came, Paita, Krishna said, "This is very good, very nice pastime. I'm going to show these forearms to Radharani and see what Radharani does." But Krishna couldn't keep those forearms. When Radharani came before him, two of those arms went away. Krishna couldn't manifest that form because Radhika, her bhava is so ekantic. And yayutam mam prapadyate tam satayva bhajamyam. Krishna reciprocates accordingly. Jai rupa chinte dasi sehi rupa hoy. According to the way the devotee conceives the Lord manifests in a corresponding form. He couldn't keep that forearm form before Radhika. Jagannath Puri is a place of drama and suspense. You're right, it's like a stage. In that sense. But a very mysterious place. Okay? Mataji? Sri Radhika Pranaya Mahima. What is a Pranaya Mahima? What is the glory of Radhika's love? Swadyo yinad bhuta madhuri. What is it that she's relishing? What does she feel when she's tasting my love of me? And the third point is that what is it that she sees in me? Why? What does she like about me? What is so attractive about me that she sees? He can't experience it. He can't understand it on his own. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's independent. He's the Supreme Controller. He creates everything. But when he came to the ocean of Radha's love, he didn't know which way to go. He couldn't see the bottom of that ocean. He couldn't see the end of that ocean. He didn't know where to go in it. So to taste that thing, he had to enter into the heart of Radharani and steal her love. He became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's another subject matter also. If you read in the Banquet of Separation, Grandmaji speaks something about how Krishna stole Radharani's love and how it became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Well, what did she see in Krishna? Igniting, bipartite, cheating, debaucher.
She sees Krishna as her prananath, as her love of her, lord of her life, love of her life. She sees Krishna as the most attractive, and no one else is more attractive. I don't know what else I can say about it. Sometimes we ask a question. This is an interesting question. We can ask this question at this exalted assembly, and you don't get to answer it, because he knows the answer. He gave a bogus answer before, anyway. This is like a riddle, okay? A very simple question. This is not a trick question. It's a very simple question. Huh? Very, very basic Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, okay? Three questions, huh? Number one question, who is the greatest devotee of Krishna? Number two question, what service does that devotee render that makes that devotee the greatest devotee? Number three question, what is the best pramana, evidence of number one and number two? Who can say?
Radharani would be the best
one,
right?
Radharani is the best devotee. Everyone will agree with that. So what service does Radhika do? He said that she makes garlands. He was trying to go. What service does Radharani do that makes her the greatest devotee? Some people say, well, she offers betel nut. Well, then you can also offer betel nut. Does that mean you're as good as Radharani? No, you can make garlands. Someone else said that she preaches. I've seen a lot of preachers, but they're not all as good as Radharani. Radharani does all services. But she does one thing, which makes her superior to everyone else.
The battle of Cupid.
The what?
The battle of Cupid.
The battle of Cupid. Yes. Only Radharani fully relishes Krishna. No one else can relish Krishna as much as Radharani. And therefore, whatever she's doing is the best service. When she makes a simple garland, it's greater than us opening up 10,000 temples and distributing a million books and whatever. Because Radharani's love is so amazing. Her relishment for Krishna is so deep. And so then what is the best evidence? The number one and two, the best evidence is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the best evidence that Krishna himself came in the mood of Radharani to taste that thing. That's the best proof.
Where's that from?
That's just something we put together ourselves. But it's an obvious thing. It's a little tricky. Not so many devotees have been able to answer it, actually, but it's very obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, it's obvious.
Obvious,
it's obvious.
Simple, obvious. Yeah. Okay? Shri Jagannath Baladev Srimati Swatamai Juva Ki Jai, Shri Jagannath Puridama Ki Jai, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Binda Ki Jai, Gopremanandini Ki Jai.